problems by the Yemenski.
Well, today we have a superabundance of information available just about everywhere you look. You can turn on the television and listen to a doctor or a famous celebrity tell us how to live our lives. We could go into the library, I think they're open, and you can find literature and books on virtually any subject. You can ask Alexa or Google Assistant for advice. Or you can go the old-fashioned way and actually type it into a search engine. I did that the other day. I typed in the question, how to find happiness, as you see in the picture. Notice within less than a second, I got 1.4 billion hits. That's 1.4 billion possible websites that will answer that question for me. A super abundance of information. And we quickly realized that a lot of it is fake. A lot of it is harmful. A lot of it changes. So we ask, where can we find reliable advice to help us deal with life's problems? We want that kind of advice. Where do we go? Well, we know the answer. We're here for that reason. We're here to learn from Jehovah God, the author of the Bible. And the Bible contains that information that we're searching for. The Bible's advice will help us deal with today's problems and challenges. Please open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 19. And to notice what it says in verse 20, it summarizes the wisdom that we find in the scriptures. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline in order to become wise in your future." That's what we want. We want to be wise to help us deal with the problems of life today. Well, the Bible has those time-tested, reliable advice that can guide us through these difficult last days. The Bible contains life stories of individuals from which we can learn. Recently, in our regional convention, we learned from the prophet Daniel. A couple of weeks ago, we learned from Rahab and Achan. Their examples are recorded in the Bible. We can learn from these examples. The Bible contains direct statements or commands from Jehovah God. You should not steal. That's a direct command. The Bible also contains what we call principles. Now, these principles are interesting, and that's what our talk will be about, how Bible principles can help us cope with today's problems. What exactly is a principle? Well, a law is a clear statement of what should or should not be done. A principle is the reason or thinking behind the law. When we understand the principle behind the law, we understand the reason why a law was given. To illustrate, maybe we could have the next picture here. So a law may be that the mother gives to her young child, "Do not touch the stove." That's a law. That's a direct statement. But to somebody who's a little older, who understands, the person may give the principle, "Hey, the stove is on." Now, that could mean several things. I got to be careful around the stove. I got to keep my children away from the stove. I can stick that pizza in the oven now. It's ready. So that's a principle. The stove is on. It means several things and can be applied several ways depending on the situation. And the Bible contains these wise principles that, like signposts on a winding road, can help us navigate the twists and turns of this turbulent world. So today we're going to look at four specific examples, problems that people deal with, and the Bible principles that help us to address those issues. Just as an example of how the Bible's principles can help us deal with problems today. So let's look at our first situation, our first problem that often arises. We live in an imperfect world. We are imperfect. We're living with imperfect people. And so there could be conflicts. Conflicts between individuals. We are surrounded by people with qualities that are described in the scriptures in 2 Timothy, for instance, where there's talks about no agreement, no love, fears. Sometimes these conflicts even develop within our congregations. We have the next picture, please, brother. So how do we react when there is a conflict, a situation, maybe in the congregation even? You see our brother here, he's obviously upset. Something's happened, and it looks like it may have happened with somebody else in that congregation. Is he maybe thinking to himself, well, that's the way he did it to me. I'm going to repay him. I'm going to retaliate. Or is he saying maybe to himself, you know what, that's it. I'm not talking to that brother anymore. Or worse yet, I'm not coming to this kingdom hall anymore. I'm going to change congregations. Is that what will resolve conflicts? That may be something that the world promotes, you know, retaliation, payback, people for what they did. That's the world's philosophy, but not what the Bible teaches, not the Bible principles that we're going to examine. So let's look at one principle that will help us to deal with specifically with this situation, how to resolve conflicts. Please turn to Matthew chapter 7. You'll recognize this principle. So again, a principle can be applied in various situations. This is an example of one that can be applied in various ways. Let's apply it to our problem, how to resolve conflicts. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Notice it says, all things, therefore, that you want men to do to you, you also must do to them. So remember that brother, he was probably thinking, well, that brother there did that to me. He's got to come over and make peace. He's got to come over and apologize, or else I'm not coming back. But the principle here says what you want them to do, you must do to them. So are you saying I should go and make peace with that brother? That's the principle. We worked at resolving conflicts, and by working at that together, the conflict can often be resolved successfully. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, where Jesus actually paints a picture of a conflict between two brothers. And there's something we can learn from this. So that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. There, if then you are bringing your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Okay, there's a conflict here. Jesus says in verse 24, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go away. First, make your peace with your brother, and then come back and offer up your gift. Very interesting scenario. If you look at the study note in your study Bible, really enlarges our understanding of what's going on here. If you look at the verse 24, there the study note, sorry, verse 23, there the study note helps us to understand that this was during the annual festivals. Thousands of Jews were in Jerusalem at that time. You're one of them. You're standing in line perhaps for a long afternoon already, and the sun is beating down on you. Your little sheep is getting restless. You're almost to offer up your gift. You're almost at the gate. And then you remember, brother so-and-so has something against me. So you leave your sheep there. You go scan through the crowds of people lining up at the temple. He's not there. Maybe somewhere else. So you search for it. It may take you hours to find this brother. But you're doing that because you would want that brother to do the same to you. You would want that brother to work at resolving the conflict. And so that's why you're doing this. Finally, you find the brother, you make peace. The lesson is, working at peace is not always going to be easy. It may require effort and time. But it's worth the effort, because then we are resolving the conflict. We're establishing peaceful relationships with our brother. That's what we want. That's what Jehovah wants. So there's an example of a problem and a Bible principle. Problem, resolving conflicts. Matthew 7, verse 12 is the principle. Let's look at another example. The question, how to find happiness. That's the question we typed into our Google search and got 1.4 billion possible answers. Well, the Bible gives us much more direct and wise counsel that can help us find happiness. You know, the popular view today is to seek happiness through various means, maybe achieving a measure of success materially or becoming prominent. The world seems to promote that, selfish endeavors, selfish means like that. We were watching Home and Garden television one day, and the client in the show, what did she say? She said, if I could just have a walk-in closet, my life would be perfect. Is that what it takes, a walk-in closet to make our life truly happy? Obviously, we know that's not true. It's just an exaggeration. But Jesus did talk about a man who built bigger storehouses for himself, thinking that that would lead to his successful life. That's not the way to success. That's not the way to happiness. So what is the Bible's principle that can help us with this issue, how to find happiness? Well, let's look at Jesus' words in Acts chapter 20. Acts 20 verse 35, the B part, quotes Jesus' words. It says, to keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus when he himself said, here's the principle, there is more happiness in giving than there is in receiving. So what's the principle? Be happy? Give. Giving makes you happy. Maybe you remember this little song that Caleb and Sophia are singing. In this frame, Caleb just gave his sister that flower. And notice, he's happy, she's happy. Giving makes you happy. That's a really wonderful Bible principle to live by to help us be more happy. That's perhaps something you have experienced recently by giving of your time or giving of your attention, a listening ear. When you did that, that made you happy. It includes giving of our energy and our time. For example, a young couple, Ryan and Ronnie, they were living a fairly decent life, very quiet life. But then a hurricane struck in another part of their country. Well, they heard about the damage that this hurricane has caused. And so they decided to get rid of a lot of things, get rid of their apartment, quit their jobs. They actually bought a secondhand trailer, and they traveled over 900 miles to the affected area. And there they spent a full year giving of their time and energy, helping brothers and sisters specifically to rebuild and recover from that hurricane. I just want to quote what Ronnie, at that time age 25, she said, I am grateful for having had a share in helping others. I feel happier than I have ever felt in my life. Have you ever experienced that happiness because you gave of your time and energy to some effort? That's true happiness. That's genuine happiness that Jesus said, giving makes you happy, and that's so true. So do you want to be happy? Well, continue giving as you have been. Continue giving of your time, attention, material things too. Give of your commendation and affection to your family, your friends. Bring comfort to the bereaved, the sick, and the elderly. When we make others feel good, that makes us feel happy. That's a Bible principle at work. Let's look at a third situation or third problem that many are grappling with today. How to deal with economic problems. Now, a lot of economic problems are out of our control. They're caused by large corporations, large governments. But some economic problems are brought about by self. You could say they're self-imposed economic problems because we're influenced by the commercial world that tells us to keep buying, to keep getting the latest and the greatest. That's what this young couple is probably doing. They're buying. How are they paying for it? Probably on credit. And so we become familiar with the expressions that are very common in today's world, like impulse buying, overstretched on credit, financial strain. They're common phrases that we hear about a lot today. These are self-imposed economic problems. And the world encourages that. What does the Bible say? What Bible principles come to mind? Maybe you're thinking of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we are warned against the love of money because it leads to a ruinous future. That's verses 9 and 10. We're going to focus on the principle that's found in verse 8. Here's the principle that Jehovah has inspired. Verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 6. So having food and clothing, footnote also reveals shelter, we will be content with these things. So learning to be content with these things, these necessary things for life, not indulging in wants, but being content with satisfying our needs. There's a huge difference there. And a lot of financial advisors, when a person goes in there with for seeking advice how to cope with runaway debt, they will advise, well, what are your needs? What are your wants? What can you get rid of that you don't really need? That's one of the first things they analyze. Well, Jehovah said, be content, learn to be content. And that's a challenge that all of us are constantly reevaluating. Is this something I need or is this something I just want? Well, when we concentrate and focus on our needs, we will probably be less likely to experience these self-imposed economic challenges. Just a little further, perhaps you remember how Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he mentioned about keeping a simple eye or an eye that is focused. Again, financial advisors find wisdom in that. When you have runaway debt, you have to pay this creditor and that creditor and this credit card and that. What they'll do is they'll consolidate everything into one payment so that you can focus on that, instead of being distracted by all these other things that are going on. Here's an exercise that you can maybe try, and maybe young ones would enjoy this one. So you take two balls and you throw one to your partner, and then no doubt they will catch it. And you throw the other ball and no doubt they will catch it. But now change things around and throw both balls at the same time. Chances are they won't even catch a single ball. Why? Because now they're not focused. They're distracted between two different things. Well, imagine being distracted by many different things. That's why Jesus said, focus. Focus on, keep your eyes simple. Be content. Focus on the necessities of life. It's a really wise Bible principle. And by being able to do that, we're able to focus on the more important things, which of course are family and our relationship with Jehovah God. And we're able to, again, be wise and be successful in our life. Okay, so there's another example of a Bible principle at work with a real problem that we face today. How to deal with economic challenges, or the principle of contentment. Let's examine one more as an example in a little bit of detail. Anxiety, how to allay anxiety. Anxiety is something that, we deal with almost every day. And some of it, a measure of anxiety is good. It helps us. But being overwhelmed with anxiety, that's not a pleasant situation at all. And anxiety can be caused by very many things, like, you know, the anxiety you feel before you give a part at the meeting. That's actually good. Helps you to focus and to rely on Jehovah. But when we're facing anxiety because of some economic hardships or because of illness or because of a loss of a loved one and death, those are hard things to deal with. Very unwelcome in our lives. So how do we allay that anxiety when we're faced with these huge challenges. Again, wisdom of the world may provide some helpful suggestions, diet and exercise, for instance. But sometimes those suggestions veer into spiritism, practicing some kind of spiritual meditation, or maybe getting into some of these holistic practices that may be involved or involve us in spiritism. That's not the way to deal with these situations. And so we've got to be cautious when listening to worldly wisdom. But what about the Bible's wisdom? What principle can we get from the Bible to help us with this situation, how to allay anxiety? Well, if you have your New World Translation study, just your New World Translation, actually a paper version or a digital version, please turn to the introduction of God's Word. That's before the books of the Bible. You'll see the section called Introduction. And there you'll see 20 questions in that introduction, 20 questions that are addressed. If you turn to question 16, notice the question that's asked, how can you cope with anxiety? And you'll see that picture there on that page, one of those. You'll notice that on that, underneath that question, there are about four or five different Bible principles. So again, that helps us to understand something, that we're only just scratching the surface, addressing a problem with one Bible principle. There may be others involved, but for the sake of timing, we are focusing on just one at a time. So I invite you to look at the last one, right underneath the picture, or in the digital version anyway, on my phone, it's underneath the picture. It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That's the Bible principle. So how to allay anxiety? Here's the principle. It says, do not be anxious over anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, along with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your mental powers by means of Christ Jesus. What's the principle? When dealing with anxiety, when being overwhelmed with anxious moments, pray. Pray, beseech Jehovah to help you deal with this situation. And the scripture promises that Jehovah will give us that peace that we need. Have you ever experienced that? You were really overwhelmed with something that was going on. Well, your automatic response was to pray to Jehovah. And before you even maybe finished the prayer, you already started feeling calmness. In that picture we saw the two sisters. Obviously they were facing some kind of anxiety. There's no husband in the picture. The food looks kind of meager. So maybe they were anxious about those things, or maybe something else was happening. But what did they do? They followed the Bible principle. Pray to Jehovah. And that is an amazing, amazingly good advice that we all can follow. Jehovah is the hearer of prayer, and he answers our prayers. Sometimes he answers prayers so, it's so obvious. We see it right away. That's an answer from Jehovah. And sometimes it's almost instantaneous. Perhaps you've experienced that. But here's one experience. A young woman in the Philippines, well, she wanted to enlarge her ministry. She wanted to engage in the full-time ministry as a regular pioneer. But that's volunteer service. She also needed a good job that would help her to continue in this work. So she says, one Saturday, I prayed to Jehovah specifically about this situation. Well, later that day, while in the ministry, she meets this young person and the teenager. Out of the blue, the girl says, you should go to my school first thing Monday morning. She explained that there was a job vacancy that needed to be filled as soon as possible. Well, our sister went Monday morning, got the job. It was the perfect job to help her with her pioneering. Jehovah answered that prayer, and it was very obvious. Sometimes Jehovah answers prayers in less obvious ways. maybe he provides us with something we hear or read that is actually a principle that we can apply in our situation. We pray for wisdom, and Jehovah gives that wisdom to us by helping us to catch a principle that has been highlighted. And sometimes Jehovah provides comfort by means of the promises that he had made. You know, some problems that we deal with that cause us anxiety will not go away until the new system. Chronic illness, loss of loved ones, we will continue to miss them until the resurrection. These problems will not disappear now, but Jehovah gives us comfort from the scriptures, telling us, soon I will reverse the effects of aging. Soon I will reverse the effects of illness. Soon I will bring back your loved one to death, from death. That's comforting and reassuring, and it helps us to deal with the anxiety that we may feel. So pray, Jehovah will give you peace. But what is the key? What is the key to coping successfully with today's problems? We looked at four examples of problems, and we addressed them with a Bible principle. That's awesome. Those Bible principles are found in God's Word, but what is the key to coping successfully? If you pick up a bottle of Advil, and on the instructions it says, take two with plenty of water, that's awesome. You know that. But it's not until you apply that it will start having an effect. And so these Bible principles are there. It's good for us to know them, but we also need to apply them in our lives to really benefit from them. And that's the key. Don't just know them, apply them. Applying Bible principles brings us happiness. It brings us happiness now, helps us to chart our course for the future, a very wonderful future indeed. So we looked at four specific examples, four Bible principles, just to give you a taste, and maybe it's something you've prayed about recently. There are many more problems that the Bible addresses. Virtually any problem that we have to deal with, there's at least one Bible principle, at least one. Let's look at a few slides here, and you'll see a problem and a scripture. So the problem here, for instance, is health situations, health problems. When dealing with medical decisions, Bible principle, the naive person believes every word, but the shrewd one ponders each step. Wise advice, especially now with the pandemic and all the various ideas about vaccines and treatments. Ponder on that principle. Let's look at our next one. We talked a little bit about self-imposed economic challenges, but sometimes money problems persist. Well, Matthew 6, 31, 32 is a good principle to remember. There it says, all these things the nations are pursuing, but your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. A reassuring, comforting thought. The next slide shows, successful marriages. What are they based on? Many Bible principles in the Bible that help us to have successful family lives and marriages. Here's one, Colossians 3:14. Clothe yourselves with love, for it is a perfect bond of union. Our next slide shows a problem that's very prevalent today, racial and all sorts of discrimination that's out there, all sorts of disunity. That doesn't exist in Jehovah's organization because we live by Bible principles. And here's one that we live by, Acts 10, 34 and 35, where it talks about God being not partial. Well, obviously we want to be like God and not be partial. And that's why we have such a great unity in the congregations. Our next slide shows harmful association. That can happen at any place, even at work, at school. We could be exposed to harmful associations. Good Bible principle to remember, Proverbs 13:20, walk with wise, you'll become wise. But if you have dealings with the stupid, you will fare badly. So our sister obviously remembers that advice, and she does not want to have anything to do with that worldly man. And finally, one more, perhaps employment situations have been challenging us in these days. It's problems that are beyond our control. We may be dismissed from our work. Good Bible principle to remember, Psalm 37, verse 25. I was once young and now I'm old, but I have not seen anyone righteous abandoned, nor his children looking for bread. Jehovah will be there for you. So, good examples of wise Bible principles that help us to deal with today's problems. Let's look at one more verse in Psalm 19, verse 7, which really summarizes the whole beauty of the scriptures that Jehovah inspired. 19, verse 7 of Psalms says, "The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring strength. The reminder of Jehovah is trustworthy, making the inexperienced one wise." So do you want to have a successful life? Do you want to be wise when dealing with problems and challenges in today's world? Do you want to be wise so that you can have a wonderful future to look forward to? Well, keep studying the Bible. Keep looking at its real life examples of people, its commands, direct statements, but also its many principles that can be applied in various ways to help us deal with today's problems.